We declare that you are unfailing, and so you will never let us down. The circumstances get difficult at times. Father, may we trust your goodness. May we trust that the circumstances of our lives do not have the last word, that you always do. And so we declare this morning that because you have all power, you have all authority, and because you are good, that nothing will stand in the way of your purposes being accomplished in this world and in our lives. So thank you, Father, for the privilege that you've given us this morning to declare your authority, to declare the work of Christ on the cross, the finished work of Christ on the cross, to declare that you are good. Father, who are we that we have been given this privilege to worship you? But oh, how grateful we are for the privilege to worship you. We are grateful as well that you have given us the privilege to be able to read and to hear and to study your word to us. And so by your Spirit, would you open the eyes of our hearts? Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that we would be able to understand and be changed by your word this morning? Father, thank you for the good gift of your word. Lead us into your truth, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the children from 3 years old to sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church this morning. And a reminder for families to pick up your kids then across the way. I say that now because it's on my mind, because I'll probably forget it later. If you open a Bible, if you have one, to Matthew chapter 8, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 5 through 13 as we continue the series that we've been looking at over the last several weeks on Kingdom Come, about the kingdom of God, and asking the Lord that his kingdom would come and his will would be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 5 through 13, allow me to read it for us, and then we'll look into it together. Matthew records this. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom, or the sons of the kingdom, some translation say, will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would, and his servant was healed at that very hour. Today we're talking about living under kingdom authority. A friend of mine on Facebook posted this a couple weeks ago, and it resonated with me. And it says this. Now, understand, this is personal to me. We'll apply it to everyone here in a second. Pastoral goals at 24 years of age. Plant a church, grow it to several thousand, write a book, plant more churches, etc., etc. Goals at 34. Make it to retirement without having blown up your marriage and family, your church, or your faith. Now, obviously, that's more specific to my world, but I think all of us can apply this and change some of the details of what it looks like in your world. Whether it's at 24 or 34 or 74 or for some of you 94, the Lord has given you those years. The specifics may not apply to you, but the principle is. We can all translate it to mean specifically what it would apply in our own life and in our own context. And the point simply is that we start out going, wow, we're going to do great things, and then life hits us. And we find that it's not always as easy as we thought. That life has a way, and these days that we're living in have a way to bring discouragement, have a way to bring weariness, have a way to cause us to feel often overwhelmed, and I don't know if we're going to get through this, where those ambitious goals for the kingdom become, I just hope we make it. Life has a way of doing that, but there's also an enemy of our souls, Satan, who is a defeated foe, but knows that if he can wear us out, if he can oppose us, if he can pull us away from the hope and the expectation of what is possible when we live by faith under the kingdom authority of Christ, then he's been successful. It's interesting, in Revelation, it talks about, a friend of mine brought this up, that the enemy against the tribulation saints wants nothing more than to wear them out. And I believe it's a tactic of the enemy today, is to wear us out. See, when you come to Christ, life is filled with blessing and peace, isn't it? We have the blessing of the Lord, we have the peace of the Lord, we have eternity with him, but also when you come to Christ, it becomes more difficult, doesn't it? Because now you have an enemy that opposes you. Today, I told you at the beginning, may it be an opportunity for us, and as we sang it, I don't know about you, but I was encouraged. I don't know about you, but faith was rising in my soul as we declared the goodness of God, his work on the cross, as we declared the fact that everything is under his authority. We'll look at it in a minute, that he's good. That hope and expectation can rise. And I pray as we gather around his word that we would be encouraged once again, and that hope and expectation would continue to develop and rise in us afresh, so that when we live under kingdom authority, that we would know that nothing is impossible with God. So how do we live under kingdom authority? That's what we're going to, the question we'll seek to answer today. Before we go any farther, I just want to give you a quick definition that I'm working off of. This would be a definition out of the original language, Jesus, as he would speak, and then it was just written in the original language of Greek. When it talks about authority in Scripture, this is what it means. Authority is the power and right to rule by which commands must be obeyed. So when I'm talking about authority today, I'm talking about the power and the right to rule. Jesus has the power and the right to rule, amen? And because he has the power and the right to rule, his commands must be obeyed. We'll look at that as we work through this morning. So how do we live under this kingdom authority? Four thoughts. The first is this. We recognize our lack of authority. We recognize our lack of authority. The Roman centurion had a place in his life where he recognized his lack of authority. Now, to understand, this centurion was a Roman centurion that had command of most likely 100 soldiers under him in this place of Capernaum. He commanded a detachment of these 100 soldiers. Now, being a centurion in the Roman army carried the authority of Caesar to be able to have over those that were under his charge, those soldiers under his charge. Centurions were very important in the Roman army to be able to move forward the will of Caesar and to be able to move forward the expansion of the Roman Empire and to be able to keep peace in the empire as well. These centurions were men of high character. They were men of high integrity. They were men who understood what it meant to be leaders, what it meant to have authority, and what it meant to dispose of or disperse their authority, dispense of it. They understood how to lead. They understood what it meant to be a man of authority. Yet, verses 5 and 6 tell us this. We read, when Jesus entered this town of Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. This man of high integrity, this man of high character, this man who understood authority recognized that this situation, his authority could not touch his servant at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. So what does he do? He goes to a man who he sees authority in. He goes to Jesus. This man, the centurion, understood that he did not have the authority to deal with. He did not have the ability to deal with this paralysis in his servant. Friends, we all have levels of authority in our lives. Some have more, some have less in the position of life that we find ourselves in. But there is no one who has authority and ability to deal with everything that life brings us. Crises have a way of especially pointing out this fact, don't they? This centurion had a crisis, and it pointed out to him his lack, it revealed to him his lack of authority over something that was bigger than he was, this paralysis. Just like the centurion, crisis and circumstances of our lives reveal just how much we lack authority over the difficult things of our lives. So last Sunday, one of our kids stayed home in the morning because they weren't feeling quite on. And as we came home at the end of the day, at the end of church in the morning, we found out that that off had developed into a number of COVID-like symptoms, including a fever, which prompted us, we had to call the pediatrician who said, you need to get a COVID test, you need to play life very safe. So as we began to recognize that over the next couple days, just to so you're not in suspense, no COVID and he's perfectly fine. So, but for about 3 days, our life was completely pushed back into a way that in these days of COVID caused us to have to live differently. Now, I know that you all know that I've led in such a way here that we've gone to care for people around us towards the real cautious direction. And I know not everybody thinks that's necessary. I know there's other places that do it different ways and stuff like that. But what I found very interesting is in every realm of our lives, from work to sports, to school, to friends, there was not one person who said, just go for it. Just live like you normally would. When the possibility was there and it became personal, it didn't matter where anybody stood previously, everybody's response was better safe than sorry. I find it interesting. And it just showed me this, that no matter what we think about the things of life, we can say in the moment, oh, if that ever happened, I'd be all right. If somebody ever really persecuted me for my faith, I'd stand up for Jesus. You know, we say that, right? Because we're good, strong Christians, right? The question is, when it gets personal, and it actually happens, and we realize, you know what? This is bigger than me. Even if we pass the test well, it still puts us in another position where we recognize, oh, you know what? This is not as easy as I thought. See, when things get personal, they show us the lack of authority that we have over life. And it brings us to a place where, like that centurion, we say, things are a little difficult. And it can cause us to live with lack of hope. It can cause us to live with lack of expectation. It can cause us to pull back. But here's the good news. Our lack of authority doesn't have to be the last word. Our lack of authority can actually bring us to a place of great hope and expectation and encouragement when we recognize that Christ has all authority. Christ has all authority. Look at verses 7 through 9. Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Christ is recognized by the centurion as the man with authority over disease. They didn't even have to go, that he could just say the word, and it would be done. Christ, in contrast to our lack of authority over things that are bigger than us, Christ stands as the one who has all authority. Amen? In the book of Matthew, we see this in several ways, in two ways, leading up to this encounter and in the chapters 8 and 9 as a whole. We see the fact that Christ has authority in two ways. Christ has authority, he demonstrated it in his teaching. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it is Jesus' longest sermon. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes through, and if you want to call it, many theologians have called it kind of like a kingdom manifesto. What does the kingdom look like? What does it look like to live in the kingdom of God here on this earth? And at the end of this teaching, it says in chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, it says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching." Notice, it's not amazed at his teaching because he was such a great orator, because he used such great illustrations and personal stories, because he had great command of the language, because he was so wise and knowledgeable. It's none of those reasons that we might often say, boy, that is a good teacher, that's a good speaker. Notice what verse 29 says as the reason the crowd was amazed. Because he taught with as one with what? Authority. And not as their teachers of the law. See, the crowds recognized when Jesus spoke, it wasn't, you know, if you feel like it, here's a good maybe way to approach it. Here's one of many ideas that you could employ. He spoke, and when he spoke, everyone knew this is the way it is, and it demands our obedience. He spoke with authority. He taught with authority. Christ has all authority. He demonstrated in his teaching, and he demonstrated in miracles. Chapter 8, verses 9 through 34. He comes down then. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And he demonstrated his authority in miracles in five different ways. The first, he demonstrated his authority over disease. He's met with a man with leprosy. The man says, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus says, I am willing, and he was made clean. In chapter 8, verse 14, he comes to Peter's mother-in-law's house who has a fever. And he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and she gets up and starts waiting on everybody. Everybody hears in town, and they start bringing all the sick to Jesus, and he heals them all night. So you go on, and you look at chapter 9. There's a man with paralysis, just as the centurion's servant. And Jesus heals this man with paralysis. Later in chapter 9, verse 18, there is a woman who had a bleeding problem for 12 years, and Jesus heals her. In verse 27 to the end of the chapter, there are two men who are blind. He gives them their sight. There's a man who is mute, unable to speak. He allows him to be able to speak. Jesus demonstrated he has authority over disease. Jesus demonstrated also the authority over nature. We sang about that as we sang, "So Will I." If the mountains choose to praise you, so will I. If you're the one who just by the vapor of your breath puts the stars into the universe and everything in creation worships you, then what's my response? Well, so will I. And the disciples got a firsthand picture of this in chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, when they're out on the sea And there's a big storm that comes up, and they're scared to death, and these are seasoned fishermen, and they think they're going to die. And Jesus, with a word, calms the storm. It says in verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Jesus has authority over nature. Jesus has authority, thirdly, disease, nature, thirdly, over demons. There are two demon-possessed men in 28 through the end of chapter 29. Jesus cast them out, the demons out into the pigs. The pigs run off into the water below them, and everyone's freaked out because they see the authority of Jesus. The man who was mute not because he had a speaking problem, but because he had a demonic spirit afflicting him. Jesus cast the demon out, and the man was able to speak again. The healing came because of a deliverance. Jesus has all authority over demons. Jesus also has authority over sin. That paralyzed man in chapter 9, Jesus does this. He says in verse 6, he says, "Your sins," verse 5, "which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'?" And verse 6, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has" what? "Has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "Get up and go home." He forgave sin. Jesus has the authority to forgive sin as well as heal him. Jesus has authority over disease, over nature, over demons, over sin. And in chapter 9, verse 18, there is a ruler who comes to him whose daughter has died. And in the midst of healing this woman with the bleeding disease for 12, the bleeding problem for 12 years, Jesus goes to this ruler's house and raises his dead daughter to life. Jesus has authority over death. Just think about that for a minute. Authority in his teaching. Everyone is amazed when they hear his teaching. And then, in the course of two chapters, Matthew records that Jesus has authority over disease, over nature, over demons, over sin, and over death. Is there anything left in all creation that he does not show his authority over? Christ has authority over all things. We recognize our lack, but we recognize his supreme authority. And that brings great hope, doesn't it? So how do we do this? How do we live under kingdom authority practically? Well, we live by faith in Christ. Verses 7 through 10 again say this. Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." And the centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. How do we live under kingdom authority? By living by faith in Christ. It's demonstrated by the centurion. And it's demonstrated by the centurion of what it looks like to live by faith in Christ in three ways. The first way is with humility. The centurion's response was not, "Hey, Jesus, I deserve you. You should do me a favor. Look, I have all this authority. I got all these guys underneath me. I got all these people who, if I just say, go or do this or serve me in this way," they go and do it in a moment. "Jesus, I'm coming to you to tell you what you should do." Is that his response? No. His response is, as he comes to Jesus with this thing that he recognizes he does not possess the authority to fix, even though he has authority in all these other realms of life, he comes to Jesus and he says, "You have the authority." Jesus says, "I'll heal." He says, "Don't even come. Don't even come to my house, because I am not worthy to have you enter my house." This was not a groveling, "Oh, no, woe is me" kind of thing. This was, "I recognize your power. I recognize your greatness. I recognize your authority. and I am not even worthy to have you come under my roof. Living by faith in Christ comes first with an understanding of our humility before him. Of, Lord, without you, I don't have anything. But with you, I have everything I need. So I live by humility, humbled by Christ's greatness. Living by faith in Christ, secondly, the centurion shows us his faith in Christ's powerful word. In saying, you don't even have to come to my house. From a distance, just speak the word. You know, if somebody came from the men's restroom and said, hey, can you come here? The lights aren't working. And I said, just go. I'm going to say lights work. Everyone would laugh and you'd think I was out of my mind, right? But think about what Jesus did. Think about what the centurion said Jesus has. All he has to do is from a distance. He doesn't even have to go there. And every miracle in the Old Testament, every prophet that did amazing things, Elijah and Elisha both raised people from the dead, but they did it by going to them. There was never a miracle in Scripture that was shown where a person did not need to be present for God to use them to accomplish it. And here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Centurion says, you don't have to come. I'm not worthy. You just speak the word and it will be done. Because your word is powerful. Because paralysis has to listen to you even if you aren't there. Do you get the power of the word of Christ? The authority with his word. Friends, living under kingdom authority, if his word is able to heal a paralyzed man in a moment from a distance, living under kingdom authority means we really don't have an option but to obey every word that he speaks. His words are powerful. If we're going to live under his authority, his words are not optional. His words are not up for our decision on whether we think they're worth obeying. His words are, this is the way it is. If we're going to live under his authority. Some of you might say, well, that sounds like tyranny. But when we sing about his goodness, he's a dictator in a kingdom. Every kingdom has a dictator, right? If the man in charge does not have their way, then things go wild and out of control. But he's benevolent. He loves. He has given himself. He has offered his life for us. So why would we not say, if you have already given your life for me, why would I not obey your very word? Live by faith in Christ in his powerful word. And live by faith in Christ, living by faith in his authority. We've talked about this already. And the centurion who understands authority says that your word is powerful, and because you have authority, it has to be obeyed. Paralysis on the other end does not get to say, Jesus, I think I'll hang around. Paralysis has to say, when Jesus says it, I'll leave. Because he has authority. So living by faith in Christ comes with our humbling ourselves before him by recognizing his authority, by living according to his powerful word. Lastly, living by faith in Christ means when we do this that we expect God's kingdom to come. that we expect God's kingdom to come. Centurion's faith teaches us what it looks like to live by faith in Christ, but it also teaches us that we should live with expectation. See, because Christ has all authority, there's nothing that he cannot do. And so may our faith and our hope and our expectation be renewed this morning as we live by faith in him. And understand that sometimes the reasons that we lack expectation is because things don't happen just like that, right? How many of you are still waiting on the powerful word of God to be fully realized? Sometimes it's not instantaneous. Sometimes it's like that moment where Jesus says it and it happens. And there's other times where it's a long time. And we can get weary, can't we? And we can lose hope and we can lose expectation that his kingdom is going to come in that thing that we've been believing his word for. So let me encourage you with these two things. Expect God's kingdom to come with salvation for all who believe. Here is this centurion. And in verses 11 and 12, it says this. Jesus, amazed at his faith, saying, I haven't found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Verse 10. Verse 11, I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. This is a reference to the Gentiles coming into the kingdom feast of Christ in his heavenly kingdom. And for Jewish folks, this was one of those that was like, yeah, no. But yet this is a Gentile Roman man who has greater faith than anyone in Israel. Who Jesus is saying, salvation is going to come to men just like this in my kingdom. Which means that there is no one outside the realm of possibility of being saved. No one. You may be listening today and saying, not me. There's an exception clause, and my face is in the exception clause. My name is in the exception clause. There is no one who if you are hearing the voice of God, who is unsavable. There is no mess that is not able to be cleaned up by our King. There is no situation that cannot be worked through by our King. There is nothing that you can do that is so far beyond the grace of God that he cannot save you. There's no exception clause. There's some of you who have been praying for those people in your life for a long time. And you're getting weary because you're not seeing them come to Christ. Sometimes it feels like they're going farther from Christ. And when that happens, it's often easy to lose hope that they can and will be saved. That you begin to pray with less expectation because it's just not happening. Because it's not happening, maybe this just isn't going to happen. And we lack the expectation. We lack faith. And so expect God's kingdom to come, though. The centurion is an example. And may faith and hope come and expectation come for you to continue to share Christ, to continue to pray for those around you, that salvation would come. But may it also, because the end of verse 12 says this, but the subjects or the sons of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's debate on what this actually means, whether these are just people who are not going to have the full reward of Christ or whether they are those who think they should get salvation, but they're living in pride, they're living in arrogance, and they're at judgment day going to be on the outside looking in. Jews who thought they were in just because of their lineage. Friends, I know this, that there can be many times where people come to church week after week after week. They go through the religious practices week after week after week. And they think, I'm in. Because I do the right things and I'm better than other people. My life isn't as bad. Surely God is going to look at the scales as I stand before him one day and he's going to say, the good outweighs the bad. Come on in. Friends, it's only through Christ. And if you've been here every week for years and years and years, if you've been born in the church like I was, don't assume that your granddaddy's or your mama's faith is going to count for yours. It's Christ and Christ alone for you. And so living under kingdom authority is that salvation for all who believe, both those who you may think are too far gone, and those who you would say for sure they're in. Everybody needs the same Jesus, and his salvation counts for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So expect God's kingdom to come with salvation for all who believe. And expect his kingdom to come with displays of his authority. Passage ends up, we read it, you know the end of the story. Jesus said to the centurion, go and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. That very hour, the centurion's servant was healed. Friends, I don't understand why some people get healed and some people don't. I don't understand why some miracles happen and some don't. But I do believe this because I've seen God do it. I do believe this. That if we lack the belief and the expectation that he can do it, we will see far less than what he could do if we don't ask for it, if we don't believe for it, if we don't expect it. Well, they say 100% of the miracles that you don't pray for, you don't get, right? Sometimes we've dealt with disappointment. We prayed for somebody and they didn't get well. Sometimes we prayed for provision and it didn't quite come the way we were hoping it would. And we get disillusioned, we get frustrated, we get weary, we lack expectation, then we don't ask. Coming under kingdom authority means if he is the one who has authority over all things, disease, sin, death, the demonic nature, then we better be asking if we really believe it. So I wonder sometimes, do we live, and I wonder for myself, and I ask myself, do I live with this kind of faith and expectation? Would Jesus say of me, boy, I haven't seen this kind of faith? Or would he speak of someone else who had that kind of faith in his authority, and in reference to me, I haven't seen that kind of faith in your life, this person? They have that kind of faith. Do we live with that kind of faith and expectation? If we did, I believe that we would see more salvations, that we would see more deliverances, that we would see more miraculous things take place, because I believe God wants to bring his kingdom come. So if we're not, I think we really need to ask ourselves, we need to really look at our lives and ask the Lord, do I really live by faith in Christ under your kingdom authority? It's not formulaic where it happens perfectly, but if we're not seeing these things happen in our lives and in our church family, then we need to be asking the question, why? And it may be what we need to ask, are we really living under the kingdom authority of Christ? Are we really living by faith in him? I was convicted of this a couple weeks ago as I ended up taking Ish. He sees a doctor in Baltimore. He's had surgeries there and sees a doctor for follow-ups and stuff. And I ended up taking him a couple Mondays ago. And his one prayer request for the group of people that have been praying for him since he was a little kiddo, his one prayer request, in addition to things be all right, you know, good report, is that he would be able to get back from Baltimore in time to play at his baseball game in North Hills. So it's about a four-hour drive from here to Baltimore. And he had an 11:15 appointment. And doctor has people from all over the world come to see him. And so A lot of times you're there for hours before you get in. And so that prayer request comes with this history of knowing that nothing goes fast. And it comes with the history of knowing that every time you leave, you need to leave at least an hour and a half because you're going to have traffic, you're going to have slowdowns, you're going to have all kinds of delays on the way. Sometimes you leave an hour and a half longer than what you should take, you know, and you barely get there in time. So we did all these things with this one prayer request. Could we please, Lord, would you be gracious to get us back in time for this baseball game? And I got to tell you, I know how things go. All right, maybe if we can get there for half the game, that'll be a win. We left, and we had zero slowdowns and zero run-ins with traffic. We were there over an hour early. And for some reason, they said, you're early, come on in. We came in, and we had the fastest appointment that we have ever had in the history of working with this doctor. To where we left the doctor's office 20 minutes after the appointment was scheduled to start. And on the way home, we ran into no traffic, no slowdowns, nothing. And as I'm driving on the turnpike and we're within 45 minutes of home and we're going to get there, and we ended up getting there, we beat half of his team to the game after having stopped at home and having dinner. We're 45 minutes away from home and it's clear, you know, looking at Google Maps and all, we're going to make it, you know, things are going to be fine. And the Lord just whispers to me, why don't you believe me for these things? Why is your expectation so small? Why is your expectation so small? And in that moment, I mean, in the grand scheme of the world, let's be honest, that's not a necessary thing. But that's the love of our Father being demonstrated and saying, hey, I care about those things. If I can just do something like this and show you my love and show you my authority over all things, believe me for the big things. In that moment, I was realizing and convicted that, boy, I've allowed a lot of things in my life to steal my expectation, to rob me of the true view that Christ has all authority over things. And so for me, I've been living in a place of repentance for these last couple weeks, that I need to be praying more. I need to be coming and living by faith under the kingdom authority of Christ, because he has all authority. And so this morning, I don't know if you're anything like me. I don't know if COVID, if craziness of our world, of setbacks and disappointments, of financial challenges in these days, of friendships that may have troubles, of marriages that may be struggling, of all these things. I don't know if you're like me in any way, if you've allowed the circumstances to have a greater word of authority than Christ. And if you have, would you join me in repenting this morning and saying, these things don't have authority, you do. And so I'm going to place my faith in you. And I'm going to live in expectation that you are able to bring your kingdom. And if it doesn't happen in a moment, I want to stay committed to my faith that you are able and that you will. So as the worship team would come to lead us in a closing song, I just want to give you a few moments before the Lord. If there's some stuff you need to repent of, or if there's some stuff that you just need to say, Lord, I've been trusting you, I've been living in faith, and I just want to recommit that to you, just spend a moment where you're at. And then I'll lead us in prayer.